Good evening and welcome all to the Peace Alliance October National Field Call. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator, and I'm grateful to all of you for joining us tonight. Especially as this election season heats up, I find comfort and nourishment in being part of a widespread community that recognizes the power and importance of peace building and is also willing to identify and promote practical, effective methods to build a more peaceful world. So my thanks to all of you for being part of that. We have a full agenda as usual, and I'll start by going over that agenda. In just a few minutes, I'll introduce our special guest, Leah Wolfsthal, and after she speaks, we'll have space for questions and discussion with her. And next, we'll hear a few words from Judy Kimmel, one of our board presidents. After that, we'll have a few announcements, including a suggested action for this month, and then we will hear from members of the Department of Peacebuilding Committee, sharing an update from last month's D.C. lobby days, as well as on the Department of Peacebuilding campaign in general. And finally, we'll have space for community sharing, and we'd love to know what's happening in your area or in your peacebuilding life. So now, before I introduce Leah, I'd like to tell her a little bit about the folks on this call. So there are people on this call who promote peacebuilding in their neighborhoods, in their homes, in their own lives, and sometimes in the U.S. Congress. There are people on the call like Cheryl Kaplan in Gainesville, Florida, who, herself a registered Democrat, met repeatedly with the staff of her Tea Party Republican Congressman Ted Yoho, sharing information with him about practical methods to reduce youth violence and incarceration, and maintaining an open rapport with him and his staff until he eventually became not just a co-sponsor, but a champion of the Youth Promise Act. So these are the kinds of folks you are with tonight. Not all of them may have reached those particular heights, but I think most of them have taken at least some steps in that direction, believing that greater peace is possible, and that as daunting as it may sometimes seem, that some of that progress may be achieved through our political processes. So now that you have maybe a better sense of who these folks are, let me tell them a little bit about you. Leah Wolfsthal is the founder and executive director of a very exciting nonprofit organization called AYESH. AYESH has this powerful mission: to deepen the ability of political systems and leaders to transform conflict into solution and connection. I'll say that again. AYESH's mission is to deepen the ability of political systems and leaders to transform conflict into solution and connection. AYESH offers tools to facilitate understanding and solution finding between parties, rooted in skills to stay connected to self and others in the midst of intensity. And how that translates is that Leah and her associates seek out allies in some of the most violent and difficult conflicts currently raging on our planet, and they work to bring deeply strategic core peacebuilding skills into the literal and figurative hearts of those situations. And along with addressing violent conflict around the world, she also aims to bring these peacebuilding tools into our own U.S. Congress. So you can see why I am so pleased to have her with us and to share some of how she arrived at this approach, what it means to her, and what it might mean for us. So thank you so much for joining us, Leah, and welcome.
Thanks so much, Dan. Thanks for that introduction, and it's very sweet to be on the call with all of you. Stop me if at any point I'm talking too quickly or the phone line doesn't work. Just let me know. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about AYESH, the organization that I work with. First, kind of conceptually what we're up to, then kind of how it started, and then kind of a snapshot of what kind of programs that we're doing now. So conceptually, we, as Dan said, work to deepen capacity of political systems and leaders to transform conflict into connection between people, and in that place of connection, then solution. We work on the workshop spectrum kind of from straight skill building training to more of a strategic intervention or facilitation, and ideally, in fact, in between those two places on the spectrum. The tool set that we specifically are working to bring into the political world is from John Kenyon and Ike Lassiter. I don't know if any of you have studied with them, but they offer a nonviolent communication or NBC-based mediation tool set. And if any of you are not familiar with NBC, basically it's an attempt to kind of figure out, separate from the strategies and positions and statements or judgments that we make in here in politics, what are the core underlying beautiful human motivations that are causing those behaviors or catalyzing those behaviors. And so the toolset, as I think of it, kind of has three major components based in NBC. The first one is basically an empathy practice or process. So, if we're sitting across the table from each other in a negotiation or a discussion, what can I do with my listening, with my language, and with my just kind of internal stance to really connect with, again, those kind of deeper motivations that are motivating what's up for you, and such that you get a sense of, oh, she really sees me as a human being, even if she completely disagrees with me. The second component is doing that, but basically for ourselves. So in moments of intense anger or fear or heartbreak, how can we kind of quickly have an awareness of, oh, I'm having this emotion. What is it that's really kind of deep down that I'm wanting and not getting in this moment? And using that awareness to kind of more powerfully and effectively connect us and find solutions. And the third component is a kind of straightforward with supporting skills mediation process. So again, how can I, if there's no formal mediator in the room, how can I kind of facilitate us identifying those core underlying needs, connect in that deeper place, and then find solutions that are kind of positive sum that will work for all of us. And so I'm guessing some of you already have questions, but we'll hear that at the end. So I got connected to Ike and John because from about age 14 or 15, I decided that I was going to run for office and be a public leader that way. And so I was going to trainings of different kinds of mediation trainings to try to build my own skills in, when I'm elected, how will I bring stakeholders together and find solutions that won't just be overturned in 5 or 10 years when the next wave of people who disagreed with me, you know, get into power. And so I think it was maybe the fall of 2013, I was at a workshop with Ike and John, and I realized that, even if I could get elected, it wouldn't be enough just for me to be in my office or my position and kind of modeling this behavior, that it was taking me and it would take other people kind of resources and time to build their own skills and change habits. So John and Ike and I kind of agreed that I would build this organization, this nonpartisan nonprofit, to bring these tools into the political world, and they would potentially be willing to train. And since then, other trainers also who have skills in this particular tools that have also agreed to come on board, but that's kind of how it started. And so a half a year or so after that, I just kind of decided to do it. And my kind of initial strategic approach, which will have obvious pitfalls when I explain it to you, was to focus on executing a congressional training. And I thought that that would be a good idea, one, because as an undergraduate at Georgetown, they really sort of hammered into us that you don't want to go blundering into foreign places where you may or may not really understand, and then you leave and there are lots of problems. So to focus on domestic, which perhaps I know better. And two, that perhaps could be the fastest path to organizational sustainability, meaning that if we could do a congressional workshop, even if it would be small, that press at that level would be interested and then donors would be interested. And so my strategy to implement that was I relocated to D.C. and tried to build partnerships with organizations that already had relationships with elected officials who might want to partner with us to do some kind of workshop. And when I was in D.C., I'm still kind of in D.C., but at that time, one of the things I did to just kind of stay inspired and stay reminded that people care about these issues and are working on them was to go to kind of panel discussions and a public event about different things happening in the world that mattered to me. And at the time, and still very important to me, Syria was really on my mind. And to make a long story very short, I offered these tools to some Syrian opposition activists that I got connected to, and the first workshop that AIESH did as an organization was not with Congress members, but was in Istanbul last spring. with members of the Syrian opposition, the civilian political leadership, the SELAF, which is the primary opposition coalition. And so I went, we went for 6 days. I went with three trainers and a film person who could document that, that we went and what happened. And I can give you that, the website, to see some of that footage later. And so from that workshop, and if you have questions about this, maybe we can talk more about it later, but we just offered, to the best of our capacity, our knowledge of these tools in a lot of role plays, working out real situations that they're facing internally and externally, or trying to support them kind of revising approaches or working through challenges there. And at the end of that, I was asked to be present at the next round of Geneva talks. And since then, we've also sort of are in regular contact about potential ways that, that we might be able to support peace. And so let me see what time we have, a couple more minutes. So while I was waiting for pieces of that workshop to fall into place, because as you can imagine, so much, or I'm not sure what we control, but there's so much that we don't control, right? We don't control the timeline. We don't control the political situation. So while I was waiting for that to work, I started kind of inviting other folks who I thought this might be useful in their either high casualty or high risk conflict situations internationally. And so there are a number of those programs, most notably in Afghanistan and Nigeria and country of Georgia and a couple of others where there are active organizations or partners who are working on proposals with us and programs with us. And so just to give you a little bit of a snapshot domestically, there are a couple of things that are up that I'm excited about and perhaps you, you will find meaningful as well. So we're trying a couple of different things. One of them, and this is not necessarily at the congressional level, but that's also kind of back in the works. So one of them is tomorrow night, a few volunteers who are trained in or have experience with this tool set are going to do an empathy Twitter session during the debate. So offering empathy to people who seem triggered, so are in pain or angry or whatever is happening about the debate, and seeing what happens, seeing what that engagement looks like. Another thing that we're working on, and either you yourself might be interested or you might know activists who are interested in this, we're offering to jointly write op-ed pieces with activists who are actively working on advocacy campaigns or in coalitions who, for example, find themselves stuck. Like maybe you've requested a meeting with a key person and they won't return your phone call, or maybe you think the kind of local story or narrative in the media about the issue that you're working on really doesn't do justice to what you think needs to be communicated. Or maybe you have had the meetings, but there just isn't, so far the parties aren't seeing eye to eye and an agreement isn't coming. So if you want to collaborate with us to try sort of jointly crafting an op-ed using these tools that might support kind of some openings or some shifting of the possibilities in that realm, we'd be open to that. Let me consult my list. The other opportunity that's happening domestically and also at the local level is if you, again, you or somebody you know is engaged in advocacy or some kind of activist work, and there are some really significant challenges or a major challenge in your way, and you want to spend 3 sessions with an IESH facilitator or trainer, so we would do that with you. And that would be for us not only to support you, but also to practice, right, to practice some of the key things that we learned from the work in Istanbul that we didn't know before about doing this work in the political world. So 3 sessions of sort of supporting you, clarifying what you want to work on with us, receiving some emotional support, and then sort of working on alternative strategies or what could you try differently that might shift the situation. And I think that's what I have to share with you. So, Dan, I don't know what our time is like, but do you want to take some questions now?
Sure. Yeah, thank you. That was wonderful, Leah. I really appreciate you sharing all that. It was, I think, amazing. Before I say this, folks who have a question, you can press 1 on your keypad, and I'll recognize you and call on your raised hand. But while I'm waiting for the hands to go up, Let me say that, Leah, yeah, I think it's wonderful to hear sort of the step-by-step process that you sort of guided us through your thinking and your strategizing, and I think people get to see how just a person with a wonderful intention and some training and some determination can really develop some amazing possibilities. I see one hand up, and anybody else who has a question, feel free to press 1 on your keypad. The question is from Madeline Taylor. Go ahead, Madeline. Your mic is open.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Yeah, this is Madeline Taylor. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm a psychotherapist, and I haven't had any formal NVC training, but all the work I do is right in keeping with what it is that you folks do. I do it with couples, et cetera. But I was really attracted to the work you're doing because I'm very politically active as well, and have wondered how can we, participate in infusing these notions of, empathic listening and so on and so forth into our world, which is right now is so our whole country, just so incredibly divided. I love the idea about the empathy Twitter session during the debate. I think that's quite fascinating. I needed to know, Leah, because I may have come in a few minutes late, how can we be in touch with you? Are there websites? Is there a way that we can stay connected? I'm going to have to go teach pretty soon. I'm an instructor as well, and I teach, psychoanalysis, so I'm teaching this kind of empathic listening to my students who are becoming therapists. But I need to know how I can be in touch with you after this evening session.
Yes, and thanks so much. I meant to say that, and I didn't. So if you want to be in touch about anything we're talking about, if you go to our website, which is www.aiesh, so AYEISH.org/contact, you can connect with us there, and also the video that I talked about is on our website under the contribute section of the website.
Okay,
thanks so
great.
Much, and have fun teaching.
Yeah. Does it seem as if it's because it seems to me as if therapists who are trained in this particular way, the way in which I work and other people work, would be just wonderful at this and could contribute so much on a broader scale if we had ideas about forums for presenting this kind of information just to either lay people or people who are decision makers, people who have to, negotiate with one another, like Congress. God, they need help.
Yeah, and do an so either you can connect with us and we can keep you in the loop about potential opportunities, and or you don't need to wait for us. You could, if you see some crisis locally, you could always call and offer your skills, your empathy and mediation skills for whatever the conflict is, and who knows.
Do you know people who are working, for example, with the police departments in the country?
There are. I would have to look up who the contacts are that I have, but yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. I will just stay online and listen to other people now. Thank you, Leah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Madeline. And I can comment a little bit that you might look at the River Phoenix Center for Peacebuilding as one example. They have a beautiful program on police-community relations, and they use listening circles and bring police officers together with teens in more deeply affected communities. So that's centerforpeacebuilding.org, centerforpeacebuilding.org.
Thank you.
I know there are you're welcome. Yeah, there are somewhat similar programs have been active in Chicago and Philadelphia, but I'm not as familiar with the specifics.
Thank you. That's great.
Sure. Thanks for your question. I see another question from Stephen Crilly. Go ahead, Stephen. Your mic is open.
Yes, this is Stephen. I was just curious of where this name came from, Aiesh.
Yes. So it's a... In my mind, it's a combination of the Arabic verb to live, which is aish or aish, and also the Hebrew word fire, which is esh. So for me, it's reminding me of our and of passion for transformative leadership in service of others' lives.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
Thanks for asking.
Say there was a policy, some peace-building policy, or something that you wanted an elected leader to consider. Maybe you just wanted to ask, to invite them to participate in a dialogue. Or maybe there's a workshop coming up on this process, and you want them to consider participating. So how would you use your skills in that initial conversation when you're going to meet with the staff member of a congressperson and you want that congressperson to consider participation? How would you be using your skills in that first contact?
Okay, thanks. I will try again, and you let me know if it works this time. So ideally, right, some of the skills will look like this. First, that we would be stating clearly and honestly what it is that we want. And ideally, that would be in part using this needs-based language. So, you know, if it's a policy about kind of protecting the environment, maybe it's something about safety or health or well-being. Saying words like that that they also want. They might have a different policy, but that they can connect to. Then making the specific request, which you probably is rampant in kind of activist training, but sign this bill or the specific kind of doable action request. But then the key, part of the key is what happens if they say no. If they say yes, awesome, we can go party. But if they say no, then it's kind of the next level of skills. And so either we're hoping for some kind of self-awareness practice, so some kind of, we notice that perhaps we have an emotional experience of feeling sad or confused or scared, and then what does that mean? What do we do with that? Or maybe we aren't triggered into an emotion. We're still present, but then are we kind of trying to convince them? Are we like lobbying at them facts or kind of criticizing or kind of shaming or kind of using force in some way to get them to do what we want, which could get us what we want? Or are we using another approach which could also get us what we want, but in a way that's essentially nonviolent, so and more likely to work? So in other words, when they say no, do you come back with, oh, so can you tell me what that's about for you? Can you tell me, you know, are you worried that, make some guesses, are you worried about your reputation in the caucus? Are you worried about that you'll lose votes with X segment of voters in the next election? Some sort of trying to understand what's up for them. And then ultimately arriving at that understanding and seeing if you can support them getting those needs met in other ways, right, in ways that don't necessarily conflict with the underlying needs that you're trying to meet. Was that useful?
Yeah, I think that fleshed things out quite a bit. Thank you. Wonderful. I certainly have more I'd love to discuss, and I also see one more hand up. And again, if you want to ask a question, please feel free to press 1 on your keypad, and I'll recognize you. Cheryl Kaplan in Gainesville, your mic is open. Welcome.
Hi, Dan. Thank you. Leah, one of the things that I had to do trying to work with this Tea Party Republican, Ted Yoho, was to find something that we had in common. And one of the things that we talked about was our family. And so that's the way I got started working with him. And just recently, he has not answered any of my calls. I think he knows that it's very hard for me trying to deal with him, especially when he's involved with politically with Donald Trump. And so we've kind of lost each other. But the easiest way was for me to discover that we had some things in common that we were worried about, and I took it from there.
Yeah, so that sounds, you know, of course, very kind of a lived example of this approach about connecting a deep, you know, human needs that we all have. We just have to figure out what it is that's easiest to kind of connect on. So beautiful, and happy to, if you want some support around that in future, trying to reconnect with him, happy to support you if you want that.
Well, what I'd like to do is wait until all this political mess is over and see how it turns out. Mm-hmm. Because he's not going to talk to me right now, I'm real sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for me. My friends were upset with me because they thought that he and I were good buddies. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we were good buddies. What I've been trying to tell my friends is if you want something from someone, you have to be nice and kind. And so that's who I am.
Hmm.
Right now he's not talking to me, even though I tried to get in touch with him. He's not talking to me. And that's okay. We'll wait and see if he gets reelected and all kinds of things are happening here in Gainesville and Alachua County. We'll just have to wait and see how it ends.
Well, I'll be eager to hear about that.
Well,
thank you, Cheryl.
I'll talk to Dan. Thank you, Dan.
Okay. Sounds good. You're welcome. Thank you, Cheryl. And Leah, I just kind of want to underline some of the great cooperation offers that you made, in case folks didn't catch that, if folks are interested in addressing a local situation by way of an op-ed, and you might want to collaborate with Leah or with Ayesh to sort of infuse your political writing with some of their empathy tools, if that's how I understood it, that Leah is open mm-hmm. to collaborating with you on creating some of those op-ed pieces for your local papers. So that's one thing. And also if you're in the middle of a challenge like Cheryl's in the middle of right now, if you're working to build a bridge with someone across the aisle, or if you're trying to get through some local organizing logjam and you feel like some empathetic consultation would be helpful, I think I also heard Leah offer to consult with you around that prospect. Is that right, Leah?
That's right. Thanks, Dan.
That's two great offers. I think that's wonderful for folks to take into consideration. And remember, you can contact her by way of the website at ayeish.org. I think that's actually about all the time we have for questions, if we want to try to stick to our timetable. So, Leah, I just want to express deep gratitude for your work in the world and also for spending some time with us here tonight. You're more than welcome to stay on for the rest of the call. But if you have other priorities and need to go, I totally understand. But thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, and I look forward to getting to know you all and learning from you all. Thank you.
Okay, well, that was a treat, and as always, this call is being recorded, so if folks want to refer back to this to listen to or to refer to your friends, it should be available on the website within a few days, I'd say a week tops, on the Deep Action page of our website at peacealliance.org. So next, it's my great pleasure to introduce somebody who has been working with us and for peace and for us and just really holding the ship together and coming up with creative new directions and has been just a good friend, a deep, dear friend to so many of us on this journey. One of our board presidents, Judy Kimmel. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure to be on tonight and to listen to all this inspiring, centering information. Leah, it's just great to hear what you've done. And as you said, Dan, boy, it's so inspiring to hear from her and hear and see what one person can do and how we can all make a difference. The other thing I was thinking when I was hearing some of the questions and comments and Leah and thinking about my life and what's been happening in the world, we are certainly in a time of transition. And everywhere you turn, on the radio, on the news, as we speak to our friends and family, everybody is working hard to figure out what's happening and what next steps should be. And what Leah was saying about sharing about empathy is kind of more needed now than it has ever been, I think, on the planet. We all need to have a tremendous amount of compassion and empathy for others and to understand that not everyone can agree, but perhaps we can find some kind of alignment moving forward. So I wanted to, Dan asked me to be on this call and kind of share a little bit about what's been happening at the organizational level for the Peace Alliance. And what I've just been sharing is equally true for our organization on a governance or structural level. Some of you may know that our interim executive director, Mary Taylor, needed to depart this summer for health reasons. And when that happened, it gave the board an opportunity to really stop and evaluate and really look at what we wanted to do in terms of moving forward and perhaps starting a new chapter in the life of the Peace Alliance and Peace Alliance Educational Institute. So we've been in a very serious process over the last 2 months of reevaluating our governance structure and trying to come up, get outside the box, use some new thinking, and really look at how we can engage everyone who are our leadership and supporters throughout the country. And one of the things we did quite quickly was to move to a virtual office. So we now are organizing with people like Dan and Lori in Alaska, and I'm in California, really people all over the country. Hart, Phoenix is in Gainesville, and we even have a director who's in Vietnam right now. So we're kind of scattered all over, but through the miracle of new technology, we're able to really continue to function quite well. We, as I said, have been in a posture of evaluation, and part of that has been to kind of explore new modes of governance, and we've come up with some very exciting new ways of hoping to steer our ship forward into the next decade. And you will be hearing more about that. We've been working on a questionnaire. We have a subcommittee on the board, and you will shortly be seeing a questionnaire coming out, which really asks questions like, where are we now, 12 years, 13 years later? What do you see are our strengths? Where do you see we should be focusing our time? How do you feel about the five cornerstones? Is there one of those that speaks to you more than others? Questions like that to kind of glean from a larger audience than just the board or just staff or just our leadership or our action teams. We wanted to get a broader sense, so we're actually going to send an abbreviated survey out to our entire database, but we're also going to be sending out to a more conscribed group of people who've been involved in action teams and with our grassroots networks for years are going to be receiving a similar questionnaire, but perhaps with a little bit more depth. So that should be happening within the next 3 weeks, and we would all appreciate it on the board and with staff if you'd respond and get back to us with your thoughts. We're thinking about one of the things that the trust is to try to incorporate more volunteers or supporters or leadership people in our governance, and we're trying to come up with an interesting way of doing that either with a council or with an assembly, and those people would have say in our next steps and as we move forward. So it's all very exciting, and I wish I could tell you more specifics, but we are actually in the throes of formulating things. So there's nothing definite that I can tell you except that you will be receiving this questionnaire, and we're excited to hear feedback you have for us. And we will also we're looking for new leadership, so there's a lot on that I think will be of interest to you. I think that's it in terms of a real update for me. Dan, if you have any question, or I'm certainly can attempt to answer anything. But I did just want to take an opportunity tonight to give people a little update on where we were and how we're moving forward.
That's great, Judy. Thank you. I think that there probably are a million questions that I could have and that other folks could have. we're a big, beautiful organization. There are some 60,000 people in our field, and I think the five cornerstones include such a wide variety of activities, and we've had a great focus on peace-building policies. So there's lots of field to cover, and I'm sure the board is covering a lot of that just step by step and having some. It's comforting to me to hear about the kinds of conversations that you all are having, and I look forward to seeing that questionnaire and just seeing how the next incarnation or the next phase of Peace Alliance focus develops. So this new sort of council orientation sounds very interesting, and I appreciate all your work, of course, and thanks for sharing with us.
Well, we want to make sure that everybody knows that they're important to us, and we want to have as many voices represented in our governance as possible. We're just trying to find an efficient and broad way to have that happen. So more news to come. So keep posted, and we'll let you know.
That's great. Wonderful. Thanks again so much.
Thank you. And everybody else on this call.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. I have really just one announcement before we shift into hearing from the DOP committee. Announcement and also a suggestion for action during this month. The announcement, as many of you probably have seen from an e-blast, is that the House passed the Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention Act, the JJDPA. They passed it last month, and it included major provisions of the Youth Promise Act. Okay, probably just about all of you are familiar with the Youth Promise Act. It's been one of our top priorities for years now to reduce youth incarceration and youth violence. It creates a great mechanism for community decision-making, and that decision-making method is a lot of what got incorporated. So we're thrilled it passed in the House within the JJDPA. So an obvious suggestion now would be to contact your senators and urge them to support the JJDPA passing the Senate and including the Youth Promise Act provisions. So particularly any of you who has a senator or two senators in the Senate Judiciary Committee, you may or may not know whether your senator's on that committee. You can look it up on their homepage, what committees they're on. The bill is in the Judiciary Committee, but whether your senator is on that committee or not, my request is that you go ahead and email and call and get in touch with your senator's people in Washington and or locally and say you want them to include the provisions of the Youth Promise Act in their version of the JJDPA, which the number is S1169. That's S1169. And bring that through the committee. Bring that to a vote. All right. If anybody has questions about that, I'll ask you to hold them until the community sharing period so that we can sort of save some of that until a little bit later. If you have questions about that action, I'll be here. And anything that comes up beyond that, you can email me, dan@peacealliance.org. But next I want to introduce Karen and Nancy. Some of you probably also know that in September we had Lobby Days in Washington, D.C., and it was mainly created by and attended by folks on the Department of Peacebuilding Committee. So here to report on those lobby days and also on the Department of Peacebuilding bill progress and campaign in general are two of our field champions, Nancy Merritt, who's a California State Coordinator, and Karen Johnson, who's a Chicago Area Action Team Leader, and they both are members of that powerhouse Department of Peacebuilding Committee. So let me go ahead and unmute Karen and Nancy. There you go. Your mics are open, and welcome to you both.
Thank you, Dan. This is Karen. I'm just going to do a little overview for less than a minute and then turn it over to Nancy, who's going to talk more about the lobbying. That was the main crux of why we went to D.C., and she was behind, she's the mastermind behind all of that and is still pulling together pieces of reports and so forth for the committee and the campaign. So it was most of the Department of Peace Committee and a few others for the campaign that were there in D.C., and a number of people also joined us in amplifying our voices by phone or email, with calling the representatives, and we focused on a few key people, and to have in-person meetings with more people than we usually would, and reaching across the aisle. And I'll let Nancy share about some of the key offices that we met with. But we also included a couple of neat elements that we don't always do. We had a training called Collective Care, a workshop based on the Razor Foundation's connection practice. And we were able to connect with a trainer in Maryland and get a 3-hour specialized program, which helped us to be in resonance and gain insights and enter offices in a state of appreciation. And that and a number of things that we had arranged ahead of time and really kind of conspired to have a pretty impactful lobbying days this year, I'd say. And with that, I'll turn it over to Nancy.
Okay. Well, thank you, Karen. We went to Congress and met with, we went to nearly 90 offices of members of Congress. We did this, we spent the week of International Day of Peace, so that was part of our impetus for going there, spreading the word about International Day of Peace, and trying to, like Karen said, trying to reach across the aisle and trying to build, to listen to each other, build relationships, and build upon our commonalities. So in some of the offices, we didn't even really push Department of Peace Building as much as we usually do. We were just, especially in the Republican offices, trying to build on things that we all want. And then, of course, in the Democratic offices, we did push for the people to sponsor this time around or co-sponsor in 2017 the bill, which will be introduced in probably February or March. We went to 73 Democrats, 15 Republicans. Maybe the most astounding meeting we had, or the idea of the most astounding meeting, was we met with the Chief of Staff of House Speaker Paul Ryan on International Day of Peace, and it was quite something. It was actually a very good meeting, and we'll maybe talk about that in a minute in a little more detail. As Karen mentioned, it was mostly the Department of Peace Building Committee. Dan Kahn was there. Doug Merritt, my husband, was there. My son, Jason Merritt, and his girlfriend came from New York and actually ended up getting their congressperson to sign on the day after they were there. So that was very, very exciting. We had about 20 pre-scheduled meetings, and so we spent most of our time really in meetings, and we did some drop-offs, but we had meetings with people like Bernie Sanders' office. We met with 3 members of the Government and Oversight Committee where the bill is currently, where it currently resides. We met with Barbara Lee's office. As most of you know, she's the sponsor of the bill. We met with Jared Huffman's office, Eddie Bernice Johnson from Texas, Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii, and several others, and really learned a lot at every single meeting. We really did have a good interchange. A lot of the people in the Democratic meetings had been following us. Their legislative directors know very well about the bill and have been following us for years and stress the importance of what we are doing and actually thanked us for trying to keep peace building in the public discourse. As you all know, it sometimes gets lost. So that was interesting.
trying to think of what other highlights I should have. We met with our current co-sponsors, and Karen Johnson had a pin made, a Peace Pioneer pin, that we took to all those folks to thank them, and they were very, very touched actually by us giving those to them. We went to our former co-sponsors. We went to a few potential new members. Deborah Poss, who's our Atlanta person, went to a lot of offices of Southern Congress members. So I think it was really good. As Karen said, we went with the energy from the workshop we'd had, and so we went to each meeting consciously focusing on our heart energy and that we're all human beings and we're all trying to figure out a better way to connect and a better world. So those, I guess, are the main highlights. The at Speaker Ryan's office, they talked about an initiative that he and the Republicans are working on. It's called a Better Way Initiative, which covers, it's a whole big plan covering six areas: the Constitution, the economy, healthcare, poverty, some other things. And they've done a big study, and they plan to break those into separate bills starting in 2017. We talked with them about the poverty part, and we actually have a lot of programs in common, or that we recognize that really help to bring peace to communities. So we may have some input on that, or let them know about programs that we know about. So that's kind of the gist of it. There was a lot of other stuff happened, but it was a really good and worthwhile. And as always, we enjoy it. It's takes a lot of energy, but you get back a lot of energy too. So thank you all.
Wonderful. Thank you all so much to the two of you and all the other folks on the committee and the folks that came for this activity. It's really so wonderful what you all did and do, and the prospect of cooperation with Speaker Ryan and the Republican leadership on bringing peace-building practices and policies into their big 2017 Better Way plan. That's quite exciting. I don't want to put you two on the spot, Karen and Nancy, but as we go into community sharing time, if folks during that time want to ask a question of one of you about your time in D.C. or about the DOP, would that be okay? Would you be available to field questions about that if folks want to?
Most definitely.
Okay. There was one thing I wanted to mention, that the rewrite, our bill will be reintroduced in the spring, as I said, and Barbara Lee has again invited us to give her any input on the bill, and we have a sort of a short turnaround. We need any suggestions by the 5th of November, but if anybody's interested in being part of that process, you can write me, Nancy, at Peace Alliance, and I'll send you our instructions and our template of how we're working on this, and would love any input from all of you. She's not expecting to do a big rewrite, but there may be some suggestions here and there.
Great, great offer. So anybody who's interested potentially in participating in any rewrites, any edits to the next version of the bill to create a U.S. Department of Peacebuilding, that's going to be introduced again sometime in January, February, or probably March at the latest, you can look at that bill. You can see any bill in Congress by going to congress.gov and then typing in search words. So you can find the text of that bill, H.R. 1111 is the number. And then, as Nancy said, I'm just underlining this because it's such a profound opportunity. If you want to take a look at what's in that bill and anything you think might want to be changed or added to it, be in touch with Nancy. Great. Okay, I'd like to shall I segue into community conversation now? You guys feel complete, Nancy and Karen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Great. I'll go ahead and mute you guys just to have fewer people unmuted at a time for now. Anybody who has something to share about what's happening in your peace-building world, whether you're new to this and are making plans or trying to explore alliances or looking into campaigns, anything that's happening for you locally or regionally, we'd love to hear about it. And also, if you have questions for Karen and or Nancy and or myself, we are available for questions. So I see hands going up. Just press 1 on your keypad if you're wanting to share, and I will recognize you. Cheryl, go ahead. Your mic is open.
Yes. Just recently, the corner drugstore, CVS here in Gainesville, received a $1.4 million grant from the Department of Juvenile Justice. It'll be 2 fiscal years. And they're very excited because they're going to be building a whole campus that will pull people together to work with our kids that need help. And so I'm very excited. The person, Radha Sylvester, is on our action team, and she was part of the group getting that grant. So that's very exciting. The other thing I just wanted to tell you all about is that I'm on a committee working on a workshop, a one-day workshop called Transgender Symposium, and we're teaching professionals about transgender issues. There's a lot of bullying going on, and actually somebody was just murdered recently. A trans woman was just murdered recently, and the police finally decided that that was something that they needed to do something about. So it's exciting, and we're also giving it's almost free. We're giving 6.5 CEUs for $15. And that includes meals. But the most important thing is going to be including people who are trans on panels, and also medical people and mental health people and educators to talk about the issues with the people who are attending, who will be people who are in the mental health profession and the medical profession. So it's very exciting. And when that is over, then I'll be able to start focusing on the YPA, and by that time, the presidential, we'll know who the new president is, which has been very, very disturbing to me and very upsetting. So I'm just waiting until next year to get back involved, because it's been making me feel real bad, as I'm sure it's making a lot of people feel real bad.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful in the midst of this strain that it sounds like you're feeling, that you're still finding wonderful ways to move forward and contribute and participate. I'm just happy to hear that, both because I care about you as a friend, and also just it makes me proud of your resilience. So thanks for all the great stuff that you're doing.
Thank you, Dan.
My pleasure. Thank you, too. Okay, I'm going to do my best with your name. This is a new name for me. Tunde Oladugbagbe. Go ahead. Your mic is open.
Oh, thank you very much. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. I'm just new to this. Is like my first time coming on this program. I just wanted to introduce what we are doing in our area. I am the chairman of the Nigerian Christian and Muslim for Peace Foundation in Nigeria. And we have been doing a lot of community work. We've been doing strongholds or areas where there are no water. We do campaigns for peace building, national peace building. So I just wanted to know if there is a way that we can partner with the Peace Alliance. That is why I come on board to talk to the people. If there is a way we can know if there are areas where we can work together in peace building in Africa. Especially my question is supposed to be directed to the woman who is in charge of Sudan and Africa. That is why I'm here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks so much for joining us. I would be happy to be in touch with you as far as Peace Alliance connections. And I see Leah is still with us. So my email is dan@peacealliance.org, and I'd be happy to email back and forth with you about what kind of cooperation we might be able to create, and maybe other allied organizations such as the Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures of Peacebuilding that I can introduce you to. But while Leah is still here, let me see if Leah would like to say a few words of greeting and possibility. Leah, your mic is open now. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, thanks so much. Nice to meet you by phone. I'd be very interested and find it meaningful to hear more about what you're working on. I know of two other Nigerian peace building movements that you might, if you don't already know them, you might be interested in getting connected to them, and perhaps I can send you their contact information. So maybe after Dan gets in touch with you, I can get your contact information from Dan. How does that sound?
Thank you very much, Matt. Thank you very much. You see, because we've had a lot of issues going on in Nigeria, especially in the areas of religious conflict, communal clashes, all these things. You know, I am also a peace ambassador in Nigeria. I am the diaspora peace ambassador recognized by the Nigerian Senate. So I live in China, and I am the Nigerian community secretary in China. So there have been a lot of things going on my mind about why the country is going through all this turbulent period. And the only thing that can, if Nigeria is saved, it is going to, the peace we have in Nigeria is going to spread over to the rest of Africa. So that is why working with the Peace Alliance would be a thing of joy for me personally. So I'll be sending email to Mr. Dan, and I look forward to hearing from you, sir. So let me know. Keep us waiting, because I believe there are so many other people that want to contribute on this forum. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you. That's, again, Dan, D-A-N, at peacealliance.org.
I got that, Mr. Dan. I got that. Thank you very
okay.
much. And I will look forward
Terrific.
To talking to you some other time. Thank you. Enjoy the rest
okay.
of the evening.
Thank you. Same to you.
Bye.
Okay. We are just about at the end of time, but there's one more hand up, and that's Nancy's. Nancy, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Okay, so I'm putting on my California hat. Our California group has worked with the California Democratic Party for quite a few years now to build peace building within the party and other ways. We have a meeting, we'll be attending a meeting at the executive board meeting at the end or middle of November in San Diego, and we'll be partnering up with Kids for Peace to do that and taking their message and ours to the Democrats. And if any of you on the call are in the Southern California area or could help out with the booth, please email me. That would be fun to meet you all and have you volunteer. And if anybody feels so inspired to give donations toward our booth cost, you could write to me at Nancy at Peace Alliance, and I'll tell you the email address or the address to send any donations, because all of this comes out of our pockets. So it's a worthwhile thing, and would appreciate any help, especially volunteers, really. So thank you.
Wonderful. All right. The California powerhouse of peace is rolling along. Thank you so much, Nancy. Okay. Well, this has been a real pleasure. We're at the end of our hour, so I'm going to open up the lines so that everybody can say good evening. And before I do, I'll just share a closing quote, which is sort of our practice, and I'll bring back one of my traditional favorites, which is from Eleanor Roosevelt, who said, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams." Future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. So please keep on dreaming and keep taking action and keep in touch. And look forward to seeing you here and there. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Hey, good night, love you.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Love you all.